inside, people would, I noticed people would always stop and visit him and talk all the time. And he took me aside one day and he says, don't think that you're going to know everything. He goes, I'm still learning, and I'll be, and he knew a lot of stuff. Eh? I mean, people came to him because of the knowledge that he carried. He said, I'll still be carrying this till I go to the sky room. I remember I was pretty upset with him for saying that. I said, what does he think? I think I know it all. I think I know everything. Like, why would he say that to me? And then I realized later on after he passed that it was a teaching of humility for me, right? To not think that I'm better than anyone else. To not think that I'm higher or lower. You know what? I realized I won't step on this podium, right? Because I want to be on the same level as all of you. And that was some of my biggest teaching. I don't need to be higher. I don't feel, you know what I mean? I'm really very circle-minded now. That's the one thing I've learned going through all the systems. I tried the education system. I learned that I wasn't a main school teacher because I couldn't be in one classroom and be told, you follow that book. What I did was, and Grandma Kate was there with me too, was I went to Queens for my BEd actually, but it was community based, and I went to Chugging, Manitoulin Island. I graduated primary junior, they called it then. That's when, so I was teaching the littles. But you know what my first job was? You ever get a knock on your door in community? If you get a knock on your door by a auntie, grandma, grandmother, just I learned after the third knock that maybe I should not be home and go out the back door. But wanted me to teach for the high school, the private high school, Ohahaze it's called. So that was my first job. I said, teenagers, they're going to eat me. There's no way. I was afraid of them. But they were my biggest life lesson. Because what I learned was school didn't prepare me. It didn't prepare me for, they would come in and they would refuse to do sheet work. So I would have to, you know, do life skills and meet them where they're at, right? I would have to be able to navigate their world in order to get them to meet the learning expectations. And I learned that I could modify. I had leaders that were able to, that said, yeah, you can modify as long as you meet the learning expectations of the Ontario curriculum, then you're okay. So that's what I did. And I'll never forget one student, because they would take off at noon, in the afternoon and do their teenage things. I was like, so I learned that I had to do the lessons in the morning. And one of them said to me, you adults always put this pressure on us. He says, you say we got to learn our language. We're the next generation. We got to sing, you know, we got to speak our language. We got to know our culture. He said, do you know your language? Do you practice your culture? Who's going to teach us that? That's a heavy burden. It's a heavy burden you're putting on us, right? And that's one thing that I realized and learned along the way as well in my life, is that we have a heavy load. From the time that we're born, when we're born intergenerationally, that life giver, that woman, is carrying multiple generations of seeds, eggs, right? How powerful is that? That is so powerful that you carry generations, multi-generations with you. But we also, from the time that we were born, in our generation, what else do we carry because of what our parents were exposed to? We carry land disposition. We carry residential school. We carry 60 school. We carry Indian agents. We carry sanatoriums, Indian hospitals. We carry forced sterilization. We carry hunger and starvation research. Criminalization of our cultures and our practices. That's what we carry. Do you know that every time we walk in a room, it's the elephant in the room. There are two syndromes that always walk with us. disposition of land and residential school syndrome. We're affected whether directly or indirectly. I used to think, oh, it doesn't affect me. It never affected me. That was not my time. But the more that I hear stories, I realize how my biological father's family got to Toronto, and it made me wonder, I wonder if that's why a lot of Indigenous people landed in Toronto. Because his siblings were all scooped, and he hid underneath the bed. I didn't find that until later in my life. And then mother took the only child she had left and fled to Toronto. And I'm like, I wonder if that's why there was a lot of Indigenous people in downtown Toronto. I always wondered that, because that's where they gathered. My dad said the silver dollar was hopping. That's where everybody met. those are the two syndromes that walk into every room. You know, that we're affected. Remember I said that the things that we carry intergenerationally, whether we see them or not. And the more work that I do with myself, the more that I see that come out. And then I have to disrupt that. I have to be a system disruptor. I finally figured it out just recently, what my purpose is. I'm a system disruptor. It's like, why have I hopped from this to this to this? And that's what my purpose is here, is to disrupt systems. Residential school system, it removed the feeling of safety, removed the language and culture. It immediately caused trauma. It created shame, grief, fear, and survival strategies that were carried across generations. We know that, right? But we need to be aware of this, and we need to not impose it on others who are going through it. And that was one of the biggest things that I've learned. I went from education I now work for Family and Children's Services, so I work for a mandated agent, child welfare agency. And I lost some connections, some friends because of that choice. A lot of things changed for me, but a lot of growth happened to me too. I figured if that was one of the biggest systems that impacted us, and I wanted to make change, and I realized that I needed to make change from within. And I realized that there was, because of a child death review, there was Grandma Kate's, one of the OG founders, from that coroner's report came a recommendation to have an Indigenous position within, and the Indigenous community said, we want this position created, and they did. And so they created the position. And so what we've been doing is working with families and changing that around and trying to have things family-led, more like alternative dispute resolution through circles. Listening to the families, having less agencies, representatives there, working with the social workers to listen to the families, get that training to be trauma-informed, close those files, why are they open past two years, you know, make sure that they're following the recommendations from the TRC, and just kind of, you know, keeping each other accountable within that system. And I realized that's why I'm there. I'm there to disrupt that system too. I don't question how I land in places. I just, creation has a plan, so I just got to go with it. All right, guess we're doing this. So that's why I say, one of the things, working with these families, my point is, what have I learned working with these families? I've learned that most of the families that are in care are suffering, are living with the effects of these systems, right? And yet, they're looked down upon, and it's like, of course, right? Of course, I see the impacts of if you don't know how to parent, then how can you parent, right? What was their story? What was it that they were exposed to, right? And so it's meeting families where they're at and just sitting and making that time and listening. You know, I'm still dabble in education, and that's why I didn't put it, because I'm not here for work. I'm here with my community hat on, right? So I have many hats that I wear, But that has taught me so much being in that system. So those systems, what did I say? Oh, we need to be aware, you know, of what's going on within ourselves. Because it manifests into our brains. And it keeps us from taking care of ourselves and our families. Those intergenerational effects of trauma that we know that they show in our DNA. That time and what time and pressure does to our bodies. That it passes to our children. As that's the template that we're working with. It's no one's fault. It's a system that needs to be disrupted. To go from those boxes, right, and continue to walk through and end with a circle and a plan. So make a promise to yourself as it comes from within you. Because you carry generations of knowledge and culture with you. It's time to align, to reform, and to be in a good mind. I had the privilege of listening to Jim Dockstader and Stephanie Morningstar a couple of weeks ago. And so I went from Mainstream Ontario, like family group conferencing training, and then I went to Indigenous Dispute Resolution Training. And the difference between having Indigenous culture and knowledge and tying in stories, it excited me. It made me passionate. It made me understand it. You know, whereas I checked out with all the other stuff because it was just slides, and I'm like, oh, that's why I don't have slides. But it really, he talked about being in a good mind, that you can't go wrong when you're in a good mind. You just can't. It sounds really simple. Right? So that is the work that I do within as well. It's like, okay, I'm not in a good mind right now. What do I need to do? What happened? What do I need to do to get there? As Grandma Kate would say, you're not walking with love. You sit there, you can still be a part of it, but you're not touching the food. Not until you have love. I saw her do that with the students. Oh, that was funny. They just sat in the corner and pouted. So she invited them back over again. I'll never forget that. So align, reform, and be in a good mind. There's a need to connect to the earth, to the ground. Our bodies have had a deep connection to the land for generations. You ever notice the difference when you sit in the ground? Not in the ground, sorry. When you put your feet on the ground, right? And even if you've been in a sweat, just going in at first, like there's this feeling that comes over you. That connection, right? It feels right. It feels like home. So there's something in child welfare called CCA agreements. So there was this one grandmother who was working on a CCA agreement, and that is so the parents can still be involved, and the community and aunties or whoever it is that step forward, you know, decide to work with the family and keep the child in community and with family. So this is a story shared by Jim. Jim said he was talking to the grandmother and said, what do you want in this agreement? And she said, I want you to put in this agreement that that child has to be able to have feet and grass and be able to walk in the woods. And he's like, what? You want that in the agreement? Yes. And he said, okay. Because there's no disconnection to the land in our language and in our ceremonies. When you're asked your clan in the language, in Haudenosaunee language, it's what clay are you made of? That comes from our creation stories. What land are you made of? Right? Because that comes from our creation stories. That's another thing I learned. Go. Whatever creation stories that you connect to, it's not just a one and done. I go and listen to them every year like we're told we're supposed to. Because as I grow and evolve, I realize that different aha moments are going to come to me. Oh, okay, now I'm at a stage where this is where I can relate to this. And this is how I can put it in my life. There's a quote from Leroy Littlebear. We don't need written laws to protect and take care of our land. Our laws are in our hearts. We carry them with us. We know that. our laws, our teachings, our stories, our speeches. It's important for us to keep revisiting them. Listen to them every year. There are people in our communities whose sole responsibility is to share those with us. That's their job. That's their title. We have a responsibility to do this and to learn them and to pass them on to the next generation. So when we do that, we feel free. Now, Jim also talked about, it was pretty cool, like with language and culture, like language will evolve around time. And something that he said really stood out to me. He was talking about, there was this Onondaga speaker, and he said the translation at that time, long time ago, for purple, translated roughly into the quality of the sky and the sunset. And then, as time evolved, it morphed into the color of the priest's robes. And then, in the language, it morphed into the color of bruises. So it really talks about what was going on at that time in those generations, right? We know that in the Western fast life that letting go isn't a practice of dominant society. What I've learned through culture and through sweats, Betty took me through my first sweat right here. So there's some, like, I am awed by some people in this room. I have, it's like going through a time machine, right? And the work that you do and how you've impacted my life, right? And I remember the very first time, you know, that I had to deal with losing a husband. And I remember Shelley laying on the ground with me. I'll never forget that. Laying on the ground with me because I didn't feel like I could move on. And she went right, and I wouldn't get off the ground, I wouldn't see everybody. She came right in the dirt with me, laid down, and was talking to me. Right? And those are the things I remember. Through ceremony and through our culture and our language, that's how I've learned to let go. Through sweats, through drumming, that's how I learned to have reclaim my voice. You know, that little girl who was raised with abuse and all the abuses and addictions, I was able to turn that around, and the drum was what gave me my voice. I didn't think I could sing. Now I say everybody can sing. We just sing in different tones. That's okay. But the Anishinaabe woman in at Trent taught me that. I didn't know Anishinaabe. I only knew Mohawk songs. Right? So, but I just kept showing up. Just show up and learn. And it was in, I think it was this what we did when we did a wailing round. That's where I learned about letting go, because I wouldn't let go and cry. And I remember the wailing round, and I just remember how powerful that was. Like, words can't even describe it. Woman just making a sound. Because as women, we've been told not to make sounds. Like, we know that's been depressed. We know that's one of the heavy loads we carry, right? I learned that autoimmune disease, if we hold that in and we don't let out, it shows up physically. I've heard the old woman saying that. But until I felt it and experienced it myself, you know, not dealing with all the complex trauma and grief, autoimmune disease, right? I couldn't understand my late husband lived with diabetes, and I couldn't understand why he didn't remember his pills. Like, why can't you just, you know? I even listened to Dr. Robin Holden when they brought her to the community. Do you remember that? And I was like, wow, you know, and that's when I learned not to nag as a wife when you're a partner of somebody who has diabetes. And then now fast forward, you know, not being able to do my work, now I live with diabetes. So now I can understand some of the things he was going through. And I was like, wow, I really went on to him. But you don't understand it until you feel it and experience it, whatever it is, right? You can get to a certain level, but until you live with it. So autoimmune diseases, they come from inflammations and the physiological impact of not being grounded. That was something Stephanie Morningstar shared. And I was like, wow, that really hits me. Yeah, that hits me. And she said, do you know that moccasins don't disrupt your grounding? And I went, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. I always wondered about that. So what I learned was to look at the roots, right? You know how usually they have the metaphor of an iceberg, a culture where you only see the tip, but there's so much underneath. I like to use the metaphor when I'm doing workshops and training about trees. Because whatever soil that those roots are in, that's going to impact and what that tree is going to look like above the surface. Right? And I remember that mural you did at that you helped with the teaching lodge, and it reminds me of that, you know. And then what do you need to do, Laura, to change that soil, right, for yourself? You all know what you need. But what if those roots have been impacted through those intergenerational traumas, what do we need to do to fertilize that soil, to help it grow again in a healthy way? So until we understand what's in our roots, then that's when we're able to do that, then we can understand our points of healing. We have the responsibility to heal from the people before us and for those ahead of us. Oh, okay, thank you. Good. I am halfway. Yes. I love that. Look, I'm going to put half of this down. Thank you. We're doing good. Usually I'm always somebody who's over time. If you know me at Queens, that's one of the things that they're like, oh, Laura always goes over time. Not anymore. I was at a talk last week at the Native Women's Association, and their keynote got sick, unfortunately. So they asked Marianne Spencer, but Marianne was a grandma. So then Marianne said, ask Laura. And so it just happened to... I'm me, I have nothing new, I have a boring life. Yeah, sure, I've got the time, I'll do it. But Mary Wales was there. Who remembers Mary Wales? Right? Mary Wales was there. She goes, Laura, you're never on time. You're always an hour late. You actually finished, like, on time. I went, yeah, I'm a new me, Mary. But that's because I'm doing that work, you know, as I'm starting to listen. I'm starting to listen to you, Al. Al goes, nobody ever listens to me. I'm done. I'm not helping anyone anymore. Yeah. I said, but it's your expensive. You told me to, I had to get rid of my car and my mattress, my bed. Like, these things aren't cheap. So as helpers, we are helping the people. We're there to do the business as creation has set out for us. Remember that it's no one's fault. It's a system to be disrupted. What are we? System disruptors, let's hear it. Yes, right. We're the ones that have to take accountability and move towards healing. One thing that Stephanie shared with me too, when she was talking about the metaphors, right, of the iceberg, like, are you going to deal with the tip of it, or are you going to deal with the root? She said, she gave an example of comfrey. So comfrey is an ally plant, and it just draws from the surface, right? It'll draw what's on the surface, but it doesn't get to the disease underneath of it. She goes, but then if you throw in yarrow or pine pitch, that pulls the infection out, and it heals the wound from the bottom up. So as you go and evolve through, you know, the trials and tribulations and the roller coasters, it's about asking yourself, which medicine do I need at this time? Do I need comfort? Yeah. Or do I need yarrow or pine pitch? And remembering, when we go through, like, I had to learn to what my own triggers were. And if I'm going to be in my good mind, I have to know, how am I going to deal with the trauma that shows up in me? How do I get back into my good mind? What tool do I need? Because it's not going to be the same. There's going to be a different tool depending what situation I'm in. So it's about getting sitting back in your good mind. So I'm going to share this one. This one, it's not mine. It's Jim Dodge's too. But he said that sometimes when we're in our, you know, emotions of fear and anger and negativity, he calls them the itty-bitty shitty committee. He goes, get out of that committee. right, and get back into your good mind. When you're in that committee, when that committee shows up, what tools do you need to get back in your good mind? The day that you see, hear, and feel differently, that's the day change happens. That's the day you shift. That's the day you feel it. You don't know something until you feel it. I remember doing a blanket exercise in the church in Belleville, and this old man who was military, non-Indigenous man, and he said that, he said when we were doing our discussion at the end, he said, you don't know something till you feel it, till you experience it. And I kind of, and I'm like, ah, as I evolve through life, I realize that. Just like, you know, with my late husband with diabetes, when he was going, living through that. I didn't get it until I lived through it. And now I get it. If your DNA can be modified by trauma, it can be modified by healing. And that is something I hear a lot about, like we've heard that, right? How science has caught up and we can, and it's, they can trace trauma through your DNA. Well, healing is the same thing, right? I'll say that again. If your DNA can be modified by trauma, it can be healed with a healing journey, a realignment. And what do you need for a realignment? Which mechanic do you need to go to at that time? So I'm going to leave you with a mantra. I am here to disrupt the system of oppression. Let's hear it.
I am here to
do my part. To not continue harm. To challenge the unjust status quo. There you go. That's what I'm here to do. What are you here to do? One thing I learned working with families in the urban Indigenous community is I've got to meet people where they're at. I've had to understand that when we as Indigenous people have been traumatized for generations, that we may never get to that trust level again. And sometimes that's where the families are at when I'm trying to do circles with them. When I'm sitting with them and doing the work and also like doing that work with myself, sometimes I gotta ask myself, just sit in it. Where did I learn this from, this behavior? Where did it come from? You guys ever hear of crabs in a bucket? So are the crabs actually pulling each other down or are they helping each other? Right? I've heard different things. And one of the biggest things that this lady here has taught me was don't focus on right, wrong, good, or bad. That's something I say all the time. And that was a big changer for me too, because that helped me get out of my judgment. Because how many times have we argued with somebody because, Misty, your right is my wrong. So I'm going to sit here till I can get you to believe that what I believe is right should be your right. How much time have we wasted doing that in our lives, right? Wasn't until Betty shared that with me. That was one of my big aha moments. And I say it all the time. And in my circles too. It's not focused on right, wrong, good, or bad. Because somebody's life experience of that is going to be different. Move at the speed of trust and the pace of understanding. So when I do circles, one of the biggest things that I have learned is to listen to understand, not to respond. And I had to sit with that because that was pretty heavy. It's like, how do I listen, understand, and not respond? Because we're so, like, one thing that really drove me crazy and still continues to is when we talk over each other and take each other's voice, right? The older I get, the more that drives me crazy. The more that it triggers me, I should say. And then I've got to sit and go, why is that triggering me? What's going on? Why am I getting angry? Because I'm not listening to understand. It's never about you. It's always about me. I've got to go back in. When I'm angry at somebody, there's so many things in my life that I get really held judgment against people and our spirits didn't connect and I didn't like them because I thought that they did something to me. No, it's about the more I did the work to sit in and say, okay, what do I need? It's not about them. It's about you. What are you going through? Where's this coming from? Right? How old were you at that time? What happened? So, what resources do we need in our belts? Like, what resources do I need in my belt to help me get to these different points? Well, what I've learned especially working in the King's Indigenous community, was working with other staff, working with community collaterals. I remember when I first started at Fax Club, they weren't invited to any tables, and I understood why. And absolutely, like, there was not many people that would let them in. It was about going out and building those relationships, right? That reciprocity, giving back, attending their community things, showing that you're walking with a good mind and a good heart, right? Also the local community, which is great. I that you guys invited, that this was a plan, like, to have local community here, right? And your speakers. I'm like, oh, that was brilliant. I love that. Because a lot of times people will go and reach out to, people who are infamous in that area. And I love that you drew from the community. Also, who is the local traditional community? Who are the cultural coordinators? Who are the cultural counselors? Who are the knowledge keepers? Somebody take those cards from her. I think we started late. I think I get a couple more minutes. Who are your elders? Who are the knowledge keepers? Who are the youth? Who are the helpers? Who are the medicine keepers? What bundle items do you need to carry? In my bundle, let's get rid of this bag. We don't need that anymore. This one's a lot lighter. For somebody who says she can't craft, I make this. Yeah, with a lot of help from Dinama, from Carolyn. But I used to say I couldn't make things either. But I realized I just need time and instruction to be able to do it. So I have different things in my bundle items. But like drums, rattles. Who are the traditional practitioners in your area? Who are the validated suppliers? Who are the local indigenous artists? Who are the businesses? What are the roles and responsibilities I need to carry in my bundle? How do I walk with kindness and love? Because I always got this woman's voice in my head. You gotta walk with love, or you're not touching the bread. I need to know, when do I stand up and when do I sit down? I need to listen to understand and to see beyond what's in front of me, that's who I see. So now we're at these cards. Ooh, don't you dare. Okay. Those who have a card with brown marker on it, I want you to stand up and say what's on it. Why is it important for land-based teaching? What does that provide to us as Indigenous peoples and families? Okay, if you got a brown, you do. Can you stand up and what it is, Misty? You want to do it? Read what's on that card. Come on, you can do it.
Being on the land grounds people, offers connection, presence, and supports spiritual well-being and balance.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Who's got a brown card? Stand up. Everyone who has a brown card, stand up. Go ahead. We'll start over here.
honors our relationships with the land and our responsibility to take care of her.
Thank you.
Teaches us to give thanks to creation, communicating through prayer and intention.
Teaches cycles and systems, seasons, plants, animals, water, cycles of nature.
Thank you. Do you have one? Oh, no, you're the first. You're All right.
Reinforces teachings about respect, reciprocity, and stewardship.
Central to Indigenous knowledge, spirituality, and identity.
Maintains our relationship with creation.
The land provides us with the space, medicines, materials, and everything that we need.
Thank you. Because you know what? We started doing supervised access visits out on the land. And what a big difference in doing it. And, you know, because I used to say, why, what's this big rumble about land-based teachings, right? And then I had to sit with it and say, well, what does the land, right? It grounds us, and what does it, and what does it do for us? Why is it important? So we just heard some examples. There's many more. All right. So how and why do communities or do ceremonies support family healing? Those who have a card with green marker on it, stand up. How and why ceremonies support family healing? Go ahead, Betty. What? Okay. Healing, personal healing. There you go. Okay. Wisdom. Courage.
Holistic learning and healing.
Awesome.
Pride.
Relations, all my relations.
Creation.
Spirit.
Connection.
Honesty. Okay. Anyone else?
Truth.
Grounding.
Humility.
Humility. Yeah, it's one of my favorite ones. Thank you.
Love.
Ceremony.
Okay.
Language.
Tradition.
History.
Voice.
Autonomy.
Release.
Medicine.
Woo! All right. Thank you. Oh, is there two more? Okay, go ahead, read them.
Blood memory.
And gratitude. Oh, two important ones. We didn't want to forget that one. Yeah. And that's something that I'm really noticing a lot about, too, within myself. The more time I do digging in into me, that's when I realize that love memory, right? And that humility was a big teaching for me, a huge teaching for me. So In our principles, like we always hear, like with Haudenosaunee, there's the three things in Haudenosaunee language. There's the three principles that really stick with me. You know that when I'm doing my work, I'm asking myself, how am I connecting to my good mind, to Gutnigoriyo? Do I have Gutnigoriyo? Do I have inner strength? Gazansatsura. Do I have Skuna? Am I walking with peace right now? If I'm being salty, and I can be, those of you who know me, I can be salty, especially when I'm standing up for a family or a person. That's when I'm saltiest. Am I walking with a good mind? What do I need to do to carry that? What do I need to do to sit back and to do that? One of the biggest things I learned by sitting back and doing that work, but also listening to understand the families and what it is they need. When I'm developing programs and when I'm doing circles with them, it's about giving that decision-making and power back to those who are accessing the programs. We were talking about that. We were talking about that, I think, earlier. One of us were talking about that, about when we don't have to do all the work about delegating, but also letting the people who are accessing those programs decide what is it they want, what do they want to do. Indigenous knowledge and healing is important to them, and it's big, and then you can incorporate many different teachings from different nations, especially when you're working in an urban indigenous communities. You've got many different nations, especially like the Cree, and how that's one of the things a lot of us are trying to figure out, how do we engage the Cree community as well. Understanding and learning how to flow with the intersection of the Western systems and that coexistence with indigenous knowledge. How do we balance the two? And how is indigenous knowledge created outcomes that families judge as valuable when we're doing the programming? How are we instilling strength, pride, voice, being clean, reducing harms and substance use, incorporating family, friends, parenting relationships, you know, with our children for some of them? Those are some of the things that I'm always thinking about when I'm doing circles. And putting the family and getting their voices back. If we want to close Indigenous health gaps, we need to re-examine the assumptions of Western healthcare, of evidence-based medicine, about the definitions of essential services, to ensure that all Indigenous people can access Western and traditional knowledges of health and healing, as they define as are essential to them. So what are we?
System disruptors.
Yeah. We're disrupting the system by putting our heavy loads down. We already got it put away. And picking up our bundles. And this is empowering us to be system disruptors. This right here, carrying this on my back. We're helping other people build their own bundles. But you can't do that until you have your own established. This is why our work is crucially important. We never gave up. We never lost hope. We continue to live, to assert and defend our sovereignty every single day, inspiring the next generation to carry on the struggle and to be system disruptors, right? Through Indigenous resistance and resurgence, because it's in our blood memories. It's in the land. It's in our spirits. Decolonizing ourselves, that's the first step. It seems simple, but I have to look into myself, I have to look into my family, I have to look into my community. It's easier to face decolonization when I'm facing outward, while challenging systems and unjust actions. It's easy to do that. You know what's the hard part? When I have to turn facing inwards. To kick that colonizer out of my head. We have our personal work to do alongside our advocacy work. When we're in contradiction of our good minds, that's when confusion and hurt happens. But when you're in a good mind, when you're in that good mind, you can't make a bad decision. From your heart disposition and from your good mind, you just can't if you're truly there. All right, and now I've actually finished, and I'm going to leave you with a song. I know. Do I have time? I'm not even at time. She hasn't picked up her 10 minutes yet. Okay. So one of my favorite songs, I can take these off now. Wow, I can't believe I went through all those cue cards. Okay. So one of my favorite songs is Skuna. And how I connect with that song, how it speaks to me. As it talks about those three principles I told you about, reminding me that I need to walk with peace, that I need to have a good open mind, and that I need to walk with strength, and that starts within first. Right? Remember what I said? It's harder to look and face within. It's easier to look outside and challenge. But it reminds me to do that. It also reminds me, and talks about not letting people cut that tree, your tree of peace down, metaphorically. Don't let them take your peace. Right? And that I have the responsibility not to take anyone else's. So those are my reminders, and that work that the longest walk that I got to do is the work that's on me. And why? Why do we do that? Because of the faces yet to come. So that's what I'm going to be singing about, okay? Just to share the words with you. Hey. Me, 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 me. I don't have my daughter here with me. God loves Sarah. God me for Rio. They were quiet, and the Dos aungar hena, ne junara tana sekoa, tan havia hena. Gana, gadum sansera, gani gari yo. Dewa kliso, tana wadaro. Hard. How come I haven't won any awards? Right? And so my 20-year-old daughter sat me down and she said, Mom, how many eagle feathers do you have? I said, I've been gifted 2. When were you gifted them? In my 20s. For the work that I was doing. And she goes, that's her reward. Why do you gotta worry about that? She goes, that is the biggest reward you could ever have and be gifted. She goes, so how about that? Right? I was laughing because they said, when they said, do you want to be a keynote? I said, first of all, let's not call it that. I said, second of all, did your keynote back out on you? Why are you asking me? Right? And then Sarah laughed, and my daughter said, you're getting stuck up on that word. Why don't you just call it something else? She goes, you got this, you live it, you breathe it, you sleep it. Advice from a 20-year-old. She goes, this is your award right here. Stop wanting, right? Just like I said, aspiring to be what other people are. Stand in love and stand in who you are, right? And just accept that. I'm a fart in a minute, you know, but I'm a beautiful one. And I'm a fun time, right, Shelly? Yeah. All right, have a good rest of your day.
Well, you certainly set the tone for the day. Can we give Laura another round of applause?
You can't slow down, can't sit still. Can I get some peace of mind? You can't slow down, can't sit still. Can I get some peace of mind? Be honest.
Do you hear that? It's a wood thrush. Songbirds lift our hearts, bring us joy, support healthy environments, and connect us with nature. Sadly, due to free-roaming cats, collisions with buildings, and habitat loss, over a quarter of Canada's birds have disappeared. It's heartbreaking. With your help, Nature Canada has mobilized thousands of Canadians for more than 85 years to protect and celebrate birds. To find out how you can save bird lives, go to birds.naturecanada.ca.
Hey, 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 this is Disco Rick. Got a brand new show, Dance Floor Dispatch. We're going to be playing all the best house, electronic, and obviously we're going to be playing some disco. It's every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Tune in at CFRC 101.9.
Did you eat today? If yes, you can thank Ontario Farmland. Ontario Farmland provides local foods and local jobs for millions of Ontarians. But our farmland is under threat. Every day, 319 acres of farmland is lost. Over the past 35 years, 2.8 million acres of farmland have vanished forever. At the Ontario Farmland Trust, we fight to preserve farmland. Visit us at OntarioFarmlandTrust.ca.
Every day, you hear something new on CFRC. Can you keep up? You need a weekly recap. Catch up with What's Climbing Friday mornings at 10. The charts on CFRC.
Hold my head up, putting the guns down. Holding my head up, holding it high. I'm keeping my back up. I'm keeping my back up against the wall. I'm holding my head up so I don't fall. No, it ain't too late. We ain't too far gone. 'Cause there's more love than hate. And there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head. Those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. Taking the high road, putting the fight down. Taking the high road out of town. Taking my mind off. Taking my mind off the fighting side. Walking away, walking the line. No, it ain't too late. We ain't too far gone. 'Cause there's more love than hate. And there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head. Let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. There's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. And let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed.
My name is Jean Legault, Science 82, former CFRC alumnus, jazz director from 1980 to 1982. I'm thrilled to be back on campus. I can't describe how important CFRC was to me, not only as a training ground. It helped me develop my confidence in public speaking. And as far as my love of music,